بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that the sessions of knowledge are surrounded by angels who bless that session and make supplication for those who are attending such a session. The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are so special that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that the reward of performing good deeds during these 10 days are multiplied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by the dawn and by the 10 nights, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, the 10 nights. The scholars said these are the nights of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Al-Bukhari narrated from the root of Ibn Abbas, may Allah raise his rank, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said what means. The rewards of the good deeds are multiplied during the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a multiplication of rewards for the good deeds performed during the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَلْ عَمَلُ فِي أَيَّامٍ أَفْضَلْ مِنْهَا فِي هَذِهِ. In another narration, the Prophet said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ, يعني أيام العشر. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ عَمَلٍ أَزْكَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَلَا أَعْظَمْ أَجْرًا مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَعْمَلُهُ فِي عَشْرِ الْأَضْحَى. All these narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicate that one is urged to perform the good deeds, the acts of obedience during these days, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, and that the reward one receives for performing such a good deed during these 10 days, he wouldn't receive such a reward in other than these 10 days. So Allah Azza wa Jal promised the multiplication of the reward for the good deeds performed during these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So when you, for instance, donate for the sake of Allah, you give in charity, that reward will be multiplied during these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. When you fast during these 10 days, the reward will be multiplied as well. The amount of rewards one receives for performing good deeds during the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, he wouldn't receive such a reward in performing the same deeds in other than these 10 days. There are many narrations about fasting these days, during the nights of these days, in acts of obedience, such as reciting Quran, making supplication, making dhikr during these nights. One is encouraged as well to make a lot of dhikr, praising Allah Azza wa Jal during these 10 days. From the root of some of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast the first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, because the 10th day is the day of Eid, and one is not allowed to fast the day of Eid. So he used to fast the first 9 days and the day of Ashura, which is the 10th of Al-Muharram, and that is the first month of the lunar year, and 3 days of every month. So she mentioned what she saw from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he used to fast the 9 days of Dhul Hijjah and the day of Ashura and 3 days of every month. Every wife would narrate what she has seen from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why we mention this? Because there is another narration from the root of Aisha radiallahu anha, claiming that she never seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasting these days. The scholars interpreted this hadith as this is what Aisha radiallahu anha noticed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In some occasions, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would leave out something, although it is recommended for one reason, so it won't become an obligation upon this nation, and to show that one is not sinful for leaving out such a matter. And this is as a sign of teaching the nation that this matter is not an obligation. The Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would leave out a recommended matter, fearing that it might become an obligation upon the nation. Like, for instance, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed Taraweeh prayer in congregation for a few days. Then he stopped this. He stopped this, fearing that it might become an obligation upon the nation to pray Taraweeh in every night of Ramadan in congregation. He left it. So others also would not think that it is an obligation. Later on, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu revived this matter, and he came up with a good innovation, which is to gather all the Muslims attending the mosque to be led by one imam. So he appointed Ubay ibn Ka'b, one of the most prominent companions of the Prophet, whose voice was very nice, similar to the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He appointed him to lead the Muslims in Taraweeh prayer. So the following night he went to the mosque, he saw Ubay ibn Ka'b leading all of them, and he liked this, and he said, what a good innovation this one is. So he praised it, and he called it innovation. Because the Prophet did not gather all the Muslims attending the mosque in Ramadan to pray behind the imam in Taraweeh prayer. So if one were to say to you, yes, the Prophet prayed it in congregation, yeah, but he did not ask all the Muslims to pray in congregation behind one imam. That's why what Umar did, Umar innovated this matter, asking all the Muslims to pray behind one imam. Not only that, when they did so, He praised this act and he called it an innovation. He said, نعم البدعة هذه. In another narration, نعمة البدعة هذه. They give the same meaning, which means what a good innovation this one is. So he innovated this matter because the Prophet did not say all Muslims should gather in Ramadan after praying Isha to pray Taraweeh in congregation. The Prophet didn't say this and he did not instruct such a thing to be done at his time. Umar found it a good idea to do such a thing, so he started it. That's why it is called a bid'ah, innovation. And that is a good innovation, in contrary to the bad innovation that opposes what is mentioned in the Quran or the Hadith or the scholarly consensus. In another narration, narrated by Ibn Hibban, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَفْضَلْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَيَّامِ عَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ, meaning these days are so special, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, and the rewards in them are multiplied more than performing such good deeds in other than these days. Amongst the virtues and the merits of these 10 days is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by these days in general and some of its days in specific. Allah ta'ala said, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشُرٍ. The 10 nights mentioned here are the nights of Dhul Hijjah, as the majority of the interpreters of the Quran from the predecessors, Salaf and others, mentioned. And this is the authenticated saying from the root of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. It was also narrated by Imam Ahmad al-Nasa'i, Al-Bazzar, Ibn Jarir, and others, from the root of Jabir, the companion, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. That's in Surah Al-Fajr. He said, Al-Ashr are the 10 days of Al-Adha, meaning the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the first 10 days. Wal-Watr, that's the single day, the odd day, is the day of Arafah, which is the ninth of Dhul Hijjah. Wal-Shafa', that's the even number, is the day of Eid. Because the day of Eid, the day of sacrifice, is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, so it's an even number. The day of Arafah lies on the 9th, which is an odd number, 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Also from its merits and virtues is that these 10 days are the days that Prophet Musa alayhi salam completed after fasting the month of Dhul-Qa'dah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. So 30 days first, those were the days of Dhul-Qa'dah, completed by another 10 days, and those 10 days are the days of Dhul-Hijjah. It was also mentioned from its merits that these days lie in the last lunar month. As you know, the last lunar month is Dhul Hijjah, and these 10 days lie in the month of Al-Hajj and the last month of the lunar year. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Hajj ashhurum ma'lumat. So Al-Hajj is performed during specific months. these specific months are Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Also amongst its virtues, that these are the named days, the named and specific days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala urged one to praise Allah azza wa jal for sustaining one with the an'am. An'am, as Allah ta'ala said, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ, praise Allah, فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ. What are al-an'am? Al-an'am in Arabic is a word used for three types of animals: sheep and goats, cattle and camel. So these are three types of animals are called Al-An'am. And there is actually a specific chapter in the Quran called Suratul An'am, the chapter of Al-An'am. It is called Al-An'am because these three types of animals are mentioned in this surah. Sheep and goats, cattle and camels are mentioned. And these are the animals that are subject to zakah. That's why it is known as Al-An'am. Sheep and goats, cattle and camels, these are the ones that are subject to zakah. Other than these three types of animals, they are not subject to zakah unless they go under trading articles. That will be a different story then. But if one, let us say, has a hobby of keeping horses, for instance, he has a farm and he has 10 horses, they are not subject to zakah. But if one has 10 camels, they are subject to zakah with the conditions mentioned in the books of Shara'. The majority of the scholars mentioned that these specific days mentioned in the Quran, وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, to praise Allah frequently in the specific days. What are these specific days? The majority of the scholars said these specific days are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Amongst them is Abdullah ibn Umar. He mentioned that Ibn Abbas, Al-Hasan, Ata, Mujahid, Ikrima. And that's the saying of Abi Hanifa, Shafi'i, and Ahmad in his famous saying. Also, these 10 days are special in regarding of the pilgrims, because these are the days when they take with them the sacrifice. Subhanallah, these days it's hard to apply this, but in the past they used to drive with them camels, cattle, sheep, whatever they have, to offer as sacrifice in Mina. They call this Al-Hadi. So they take them with them from their home countries. And they even put a sign like on them, they mark them with something to know that these are the ones to be offered as sacrifice on the day of Eid. So they drive them with them from their home countries. They take camels, cattle, sheep, whatever they can afford, they take them with them and they slaughter them. They call this in Arabic, Sawqul Hadi. Sawqul Hadi, they bring with them from their home countries to be offered as sacrifice on the day of Al-Eid. And you know, after they become in the state of Ihram, they start making talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. So while they are driving these animals to be offered as sacrifice, on the way they are making this talbiyah. As for those who are not pilgrims like us now, We ask Allah to facilitate for us to be there next year, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. As for those who are not pilgrims, they do something similar to those who are pilgrims in regards of praising Allah Azza wa Jal a lot during these 10 days, preparing the sacrifice, Al-Udhiyya, to be slaughtered on the day of Eid. Many people, even in many Muslim countries, sometimes would buy sheep or cattle or camels prior to Eid al-Adha. They feed them well so they can offer them as sacrifice on the day of Eid and distribute its meat to the poor and needy. And for those who are also not pilgrims, they might do something similar to the one who is a pilgrim in the state of Ihram, which is the one who is intending to offer a sacrifice on the day of Eid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that he should not trim or cut his hair or clip his nail until he offers this sacrifice, as narrated from the root of Ummi Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iza ra'aytum hilala zil hijjah," when you see the crescent of the month of Dhul Hijjah, "wa arada ahadukum an yudahhi," and one is intending to offer a sacrifice, "falyumsik an sha'arihi wa azfarihi," let him hold off from trimming his hair or clipping his nails until he offers that sacrifice. So if one is intending, even if he's not a pilgrim, the pilgrim, so that is similar to his case. When one is in the state of ihram, he is not allowed. That one is not allowed, meaning he is prohibited from clipping his nails or trimming his hair while in the state of ihram. But the one who is not a pilgrim, is not performing this act of worship, he's not in the state of ihram, but he wants to offer a sacrifice as a resemblance to his state, he should not, and we're going to talk about the judgment regarding this, he should not clip his nails or trim or cut his hair, meaning shaving or trimming, as the month of Dhul Hijjah starts, while one has the intention to offer a sacrifice. Whether this hair is from his beard or his head, it doesn't make any difference. On his body, he doesn't take any of the hair on his body and does not clip his nails as well. And the wisdom behind this is to remain as he is. So when he offers the sacrifice, it will be a protection for all his body with all his parts. That's the wisdom behind it. Because the sacrifice one would make on the day of Eid will be as a protection for all his body and what is on it from hellfire. So the wisdom is that he keeps everything on his body until he offers this sacrifice to cover everything on his body. That's the wisdom behind it. And also, even if one is not in the state of ihram for pilgrimage, what he shares with the pilgrims as well is that one would be praising Allah Azza wa Jal frequently during these 10 days. It was narrated in Musnad Ahmad from the root of Ibn Umar, the companion, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "ما من أيام أعظم عند الله ولا أحب إليه العمل فيهن من هذه الأيام العشر فأكثروا فيهن من التهليل والتكبير والتحميد. Meaning these days, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are so special that Allah Azza wa Jal would give more rewards for performing the good deeds in these 10 days that one wouldn't get for performing the same good deeds in other than these 10 days. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam urged us to make a lot of tahleel. Tahleel is saying La ilaha illallah, that's tahleel. Takbir is saying Allahu Akbar. Tahmeed is saying Alhamdulillah. So praise Allah Azza wa Jal a lot during these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Also, it was narrated by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih about the virtue and the merits of performing good deeds during the days of Tashriq. The days of Tashriq are after the day of Eid. So we have the day of Eid, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. Then we have 3 days of Tashriq, 11th, 12th, and 13th of Dhul Hijjah. They were called At-Tashriq because after they offer the slaughtering, they used to expose them to the sun, to dry. Because in the past, they didn't have fridges to store the meat, so they used to dry them using the heat of the sun, the rays of the sun. So they used to slaughter the meat and expose them to the heat of the sun, the rays of the sun. That's called tashriq, yusharriquna al-lahm. Yusharriquna al-lahm. They expose the meat to the rays of the sun to dry. Under this chapter, he mentioned that Ibn Abbas said, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. As mentioned in the Qur'an, he said these are the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And the numbered days, because there's another verse that says أَيَّام مَعْدُودَات. So here أَيَّام مَعْلُومَات, there's أَيَّام مَعْدُودَات. He said the counted days are the days of Tashriq. 11th, 12th, and 13th of Dhul Hijjah. And he said, Ibn Umar and Abu Huraira used to go to the market during the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, making takbir, and people would repeat after them. Look at these nice habits that, subhanAllah, we are missing out these days. So during these 10 days, we'll go to the market. One would say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and people will be repeating after them. Now, if you go to the marketplace, even during these days, all what you hear is someone is calling for his products to sell, unfortunately. From the root of Aisha, radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا عَمِلَ آدَمِيٌّ مِنْ عَمَلٍ يَوْمَ النَّحَرِ أَحَبَّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ إِهْرَاقِ الدَّمِ. A son of Adam had not performed a good deed, meaning amongst the best deeds one would do on the day of Eid, that's called the day of sacrifice, Eid al-Nahr, that is highly rewarded by Allah Azza wa Jal from offering a sacrifice, slaughtering on the day of Eid. And on the day of judgment, it will be brought with its horns, its hair or wool, and hooves, and the blood that is shed from it will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will give the reward for this person for offering the sacrifice and shedding its blood as a sacrifice for Allah Azza wa Jal. The reward is given before the blood reaches the ground. So before the blood reaches the ground where he is offering that sacrifice and slaughtering this animal for the sake of Allah, before the blood reaches the ground, the reward will be written for that person. then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَطِيبُ بِهَا نَفْسَا. طِيبُ بِهَا نَفْسَا. You should feel delighted and purified for offering such a sacrifice for the amount of rewards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives for such a sacrifice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ, some interpreters said it means the Eid prayer. وَانْحَرْ, offer a sacrifice seeking reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Muslim narrated from the root of Anas, who used to serve the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered two rams with horns, two big rams with horns, on the day of Adha. For the sake of Allah, he slaughtered them by his honorable hand, and he said, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Also, Lady Aisha related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, purify yourself by offering a sacrifice, and know that every Muslim who offers a slaughtering seeking Allah's rewards will earn rewards from the blood it sheds, the digested food in its stomach and its womb. Rewards that will be presented in favor of that person on the day of judgment. So when you offer a slaughtering as a sacrifice for the sake of Allah on the day of Adha, you will be rewarded for what? For every single part of it. For every single part of it. For its blood, for the digested food, even in its stomach, for the wool on it. All these will be found as rewards in your scale on the day of judgment. How much are we in need of rewards to be placed in our scale on the day of judgment, when our deeds are presented, when your deeds will be weighed? That is a hard moment. Now that's the time for testing. Your good deeds will be placed in one pan, the bad deeds will be placed in the other pan. You will be in need of rewards. So if you offer a sacrifice on the day of Adha, as the Prophet said, it's the blood, the digested food, it's wool, everything will be hasanat, rewards for this person in his scale on the day of judgment. However, to earn these rewards, one has to make sure that he is offering a valid slaughtering on the day of Eid. And one has to observe certain conditions. Among them is to slaughter after the setting in of the time of the Eid prayer, that's on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, and before the sunset of the third day of At-Tashriq. That is the time of Udhiyah. It starts after the Eid prayer and adjuration of two khutbahs. It lasts until the sunset of the third day of Tashriq. So if you don't offer the sacrifice on the day of Eid, you can do that on the following day, which is the first day of Tashriq. If you don't do it on the first day of Tashriq, you can do it on the second day. If not, then on the third day. But at the sunset of the third day of Tashriq, the time expires for offering such a sacrifice. This type of slaughter would not be classified as udhiyah, specific slaughtering on the day of Eid and the days of Tashriq, with certain conditions. That's what is called udhiyya. So if you were to offer a slaughtering now, so it's a normal slaughtering, like something given in charity, you want to feed poor people, you will be rewarded for this. But if you want to apply the sunnah of offering a sacrifice, udhiyya, it must be done during these days, the day of Eid and the 3 days of At-Tashriq, with certain conditions. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, after he prayed the prayer of Eid and delivered the two speeches afterwards, he said, the first matters we perform on Eid day are praying, then slaughtering. Whoever performs these matters in this order has fulfilled the sunnah of offering a sacrifice, udhiyya. And the one who slaughters before that time has merely presented meat for his family. Meaning it's like a normal slaughtering, not the specific udhiyya. And also be aware that it is not permissible to sell any part of the udhiyya, whether the udhiyya was performed due to a vow fulfillment or voluntarily, and whether the sold part is the meat, skin, fat, horn, wool, or otherwise. You are not allowed to sell any part of it. So that's another thing which is specific for the udhiyya. You are not allowed to sell any part of the udhiyya, nor to give any part of it as a repayment for the slaughterer. So if you were to hire a butcher, for instance, to slaughter this sacrifice for you, you can authorize someone else to do it on your behalf, but you do not give him any of its parts as fees for slaughtering the udhiyya. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, as narrated by al-Bukhari and Muslim from the root of Imam Ali radiyallahu anhu, who said, the Prophet, peace be upon him, assigned me to oversee the slaughtering of his camels as udhiyya. The Prophet offered camels to be slaughtered as udhiyya and to be distributed to the poor and needy. Ali radiallahu anhu was in charge of overseeing the whole process. So the Prophet put him in charge of overseeing the process of slaughtering his camels as udhiyya. He said, and ordered me to distribute its meat, skin, and saddles to the poor, and not to give the slaughterer any piece of it as a fee for slaughtering. From here we know that one is not allowed to give any part of the udhiyya as a fee for the slaughterer. This clarifies that one is not allowed to give the slaughterer any piece of that slaughtered animal as a fee for slaughtering. Rather, the fees of the slaughterer should be given from other means. So you might give him money, let us say, but you don't give him any part of the sacrifice as fees. Udhiyya is only valid when the slaughtered animal is a camel, cattle, sheep, or goat. And those are called what? As we mentioned at the beginning, al-an'am. In the case of slaughtering a camel, its age must have passed 5 years, whereas the minimum requirement for the age of a cattle or goat is 2 lunar years. On the other hand, when slaughtering a sheep, it is sufficient to slaughter a 1-year-old sheep. The minimum age for slaughtering a sheep is 1 year, 1 lunar year. Or when it drops its milk teeth, could be before the completion of 1 lunar year. That's why some scholars said even if it is 8 months, that would be sufficient. Not one lunar year. 8 months is sufficient as well. That's the minimum age. So the greater, the better. From the cattle, bull or cow, what has completed 2 lunar years and commenced the 3rd year. From the camel, what has completed 5 years and commenced the 6th one. Moreover, the slaughtered animal as udhiyya must not have a blind eye because that is insufficient, or an apparent sickness, or apparent limp. So you have to be cautious. So some defects in the animal would render it insufficient to be slaughtered as udhiyya, sacrifice on the day of Eid. Now the last question is, why do we slaughter an animal on the day of Eid and the days of Tashriq, and we offer its meat and the like to the poor and needy? This is in fact the practice of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. When asked about the udhiyya, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It is a practice of your father Ibrahim. It is mentioned in the Holy Quran that Allah revealed to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam through a dream to slaughter his son Ismail. Prophet Ibrahim knew that this was an order from Allah, as the dreams of the prophets are revelations from Allah, not like a normal dream. When the prophets see a dream, it would be a revelation from Allah. So he saw in his dream that he is given the order to slaughter his son Ismail, and that means it's a revelation. So full of determination, he set forth to fulfill the order of his Lord without hesitation. It was related that Prophet Ibrahim told his son Ismail to bring a rope and a knife and to come with him on a particular route between the mountains of Mecca to offer a sacrifice. There his son asked him, "What is the sacrifice, O father?" So he took him with the rope and the knife, and they reached a place in Mecca. Ismail looked at his father and he said, "What is the sacrifice?" "So we're taking the rope, the knife, but we don't have a sheep or a camel to offer as a sacrifice." Then Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam addressed his son by saying, "I have been ordered in my dream to slaughter you. So what do you say?" By this question, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was not hesitating to perform the order of Allah to fulfill it. Rather, he wanted to hear the answer from his son. He wanted to see what does his son say. So he wasn't consulting with his son, "What do you think? Should I fulfill the order of Allah or not?" No. He wanted, with full determination, to fulfill the order of Allah Azza wa Jal. But he wanted to hear what his son would say. Imagine a father is telling his son such a matter. Then Ismail replied, "O father, do that which you are ordered to do, and by the will of Allah you shall find me patient." Then he said, "O father, when you slaughter me, make sure you fasten the rope around me so I wouldn't shake, and keep your clothes away from me so that none of my blood would splash on you, as my mother would be struck with sadness once she sees it. Moreover, sharpen the knife's blade so that it would be quicker in slaying me and the pangs of death would be easier. And finally, when you go back to my mother, deliver my greetings to her." What nice words these ones are from a son in that situation. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam kissed his son was crying deeply and told him, "You are a great help in carrying out the orders of Allah." Prophet Ibrahim tied his son and sharpened his blade and started drawing the knife across Ismail's neck. However, the knife had no effect on his son's throat. Noticing that nothing had happened yet, his son asked him, "What has happened, O father?" So the father is trying to draw the knife across the throat of his son, but it's not slaughtering. The son said, "What has happened, O father?" His father answered, "It overturned." So the sharp edge is no more on his throat. So his son suggested, "Stab me with it." So if you can't slaughter that way, stab me with it. Prophet Ibrahim tried, but the knife bounced back without cutting anything. And this is because Allah did not will for that incident of slaughtering to occur. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls all the creations. Nothing happens without the will of Allah azza wa jal. Allah did not will for that knife to cut the throat of Ismail alayhi salam. Although he followed the process and he sharpened the knife and he got it ready and he put it on his neck and he was drawing the knife, but it didn't cut because Allah did not will for it to cut. Because the creator of cutting in the knife when it cuts is Allah Azza wa Jal. As the creator of burning with fire when it burns is Allah Azza wa Jal. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah created everything. At this point, an angel told Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, "O Ibrahim, you have fulfilled the order of Allah. Take this sacrifice instead of your son." Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam looked up and he saw angel Jibreel alayhi salam descending from the sky and from paradise, and he had with him a big ram to be offered as a slaughtering instead of Ismail. With the same knife that didn't cut the throat of his son, he was able to slaughter that big ram from paradise. So this practice came as a sunnah following the practice of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Finally, I would like to mention something very important as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَصِيَامُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَ أَحْسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَ وَالْبَاقِيَةِ. Fasting the day of Arafah erases the minor sins committed from the beginning of this lunar year and what is left from this year. Because, you know, the day of Arafah is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, so you have about 20 days for the lunar year to end. So fasting the day of Arafah erases the minor sins committed during that year. So there is a great reward in fasting this day. So do not miss out fulfilling this great act of worship. We ask Allah to accept our deeds and reward us for performing these good deeds and help us fast the day of Arafah and other recommended days. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah and make salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.